This message is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about or surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us or continually surround us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. He talks about us being surrounded, and he's talking here to Christians, to those who are believers, and he says, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, what is he talking about? Well, in Hebrews 11, he's listed, he's named off here, all of these heroes of the faith, men and women, who down through the years believed God and stood for him and stood for righteousness, and were willing even to give their own lives in defense of the faith. Heroes of the faith. And as he comes to the conclusion, now he gives us a practical exhortation, and what he says is, listen, we've got a tremendous audience. The grandstand of heaven is filled with the saints who have died and are now with the Lord, and they're watching the race going on here, down here on earth. And so it's an encouragement for us to run and to run well. In any great athletic event, I'm sure that the crowds, the excitement of large crowds must really stimulate the athletes. If there's a football game, a college football game, for example, and the stands are filled, and maybe there are 50 or 60,000 spectators, what an incentive to play well. And here he says, listen, the grandstands are filled with those who have already finished the race. And that's an encouragement to us, too, as Christians. We can say, well, others have run the race, others have lived the Christian life, and they were able to make it. I, too, can make it. And so their example is an encouragement. And I believe their concern, their interest in us, stimulates us to want to really live for the Lord. And there are others beside those, of course, in Hebrews 11. I was thinking of how we have relatives who have gone to be with the Lord, and they're looking on. I sometimes think of my own mother who's been with the Lord for some years. I believe she's looking on, and she's deeply concerned, and, you know, she's excited and deeply concerned as she sees the race in which I'm involved. And others that have gone on to be with the Lord, friends and relatives, all watching to see how we're going to go on for God. So we have the great crowd that is an encouragement to us to live for the Lord wholeheartedly and not to get discouraged, not to quit, but to live for him. Now he says, in view of that, in view of the race, and he pictures here the Christian life as a race, he says, let's get rid of things that'll keep us from running well, from really living the life that we should for the Lord. What are things that will hinder us? Well, he mentioned some things that he says are weights, encumbrances, things that may not be evil in themselves, but if you want to really live for the Lord, they slow you down. No runner in a race, for example, wears cowboy boots and heavy clothing or anything like that. He wears the lightest running shoes he can. He wears shorts. He's running light because he wants to run and run well. He doesn't want anything to slow him down. And as Christians, sometimes we have to choose to put away things that, while they're not really bad in themselves, we come to realize they're slowing us down in the race. And it may be your employment. If it's employment that, for example, keeps you from ever being with a Christian, it may be that you would say, I need to change employment. I need to get a different job. I want to live for God. And I want his things to be first. And so whatever it is, as we look at our own lives, those things that would slow us down, that would hinder us, that would be weights, he says, let's put them aside. And then there's the warning against sin. Sin, which isn't just a weight, but which is a crippling blow. If we fall into sin, if we do things that are dishonoring to him. And of course, I know there are various types of sin. Some sins are more crucial, more critical than others, more devastating than others. But still he urges us here. Sin that surrounds us. The world's thinking, the world's attitude, the world's desire for pleasure. All of these things that surround us and that are so tempting and so easily available. He says, let's put those things aside. Let's lay them aside. I oftentimes think that we live in a day when sin is very available. For example, years ago, if you wanted to see a really raunchy movie, you'd have to go to some back alley, little crummy theater, really, in order to see something like that. Today, you can relax in your living room, prop your feet up, have a Coke, and watch the grossest kind of sexual activity and perversion and violence, name it. And over cable television and on many of the regular television channels, you can watch things like this. If you wish. If you wish. And so here, coming into our very living rooms, there's a channel that will carry all sorts of corruption. Whether it's through television or whether it's through radio. And here he says, let's lay these things aside. These things, if you allow your mind to be corrupted by them, to be influenced by them, your attitude toward your husband or wife is going to change. I really believe that many marriages break up because of the shows, the television programs that people are watching that belittle marriage and that glorify sex and the excitement of a different partner and things like this. He says, let's lay aside those things. Whatever it is, the sin, the pride, the jealousy, these things that the Holy Spirit will lay before us as we look at the Word, he says, let's lay these aside, because if we don't, they will hinder us from living for God and from running this race as we should. Put them aside. Lay aside sin. And maybe as I'm speaking, you who are listening, maybe there's something bothering you. You know, there's a sin in your life. There's something that is not right. Something you're covering. Maybe something your husband, your wife does not even know about. You are allowing this thing to continue in your life, and it will be a destructive thing unless you deal with it. And so here he emphasizes the fact, lay these things aside and let's live for God. Now, he goes on to say, let's run with endurance. Endurance. This is not just a sprint. This is a race that needs to be run. It's a long distance race. It's a marathon. It's something where you just need to continue and need to keep going and never quit. The goal is ahead. The Lord is ahead. But meanwhile, it takes endurance. And the Christian life is no short-term thing. It's wonderful to see a person saved, but that's just the beginning. And then there are the years that will come and go if the Lord doesn't come back. And these years are either going to be years marked by faithfulness and consistency, or else they're going to be marked by backsliding, by turning away, by failure. And here the plea is, let's run with endurance. Let's do what's right. When the going gets rough, let's keep doing what's right. Let's keep trusting the Lord. Let's keep going on. Let's run with endurance. And this is his plea for us as he thinks here of the Christian life. Now, he goes on to say, you know, I think of endurance too. I think of the fact that many times in life, there are things that happen where maybe it's only your determination to keep going that keeps you going. You look to the Lord and you say, I'm going to keep going. I'm discouraged. Sickness may come. You may lose your job. There may be problems in your Christian fellowship. All sorts of things can happen. And you can become very discouraged. And you think, well, I just want to quit. Endurance. Let's keep going. Let's not quit. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord and keep going. He's worthy of our best. Let's not quit. That's what he says. Let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, as he goes on to speak of the Lord Jesus, he says he's the one that we're looking to. He's the one who is the goal. He's the one before us. And if we keep him in our eye, if we keep him before us, we will run and run well. I think many times we fail. We as Christians may give up. We may get discouraged. I've known of people who've said, well, I just quit going to meet with the Christians because, we had problems. And I just lost heart. And I just thought, what's the use? I'm just going to stay home. I quit. He says, looking away from all else unto Jesus. A good runner has to have singleness of vision. You can't be watching everyone else. The runner, for example, who is looking back and looking to see how the others are doing, or looking around in the grandstands, you know, looking to see if his mother is there, his sweetheart, or whoever, he's going to miss his stride. He's going to begin to lose ground. He's not going to be able to keep up. It's the one who keeps his eye on the goal and just keeps going, that's going to be a winner. And so he says to us here, let's keep our eyes on the goal.
In conclusion, let me say that in a moment our announcer will give instructions on how we can be contacted. We would like to hear from you. We'd like to hear whether you're enjoying these broadcasts and whether they're helpful to you. Now let's pray as we close. Our Father, we want to thank you again for the Lord Jesus, our Savior. We thank you that he, when he was here on earth, was a good runner for you, that he constantly did the will of the Father. And we pray that we too may have that spirit and that singleness of purpose. Help us to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus and to run the race of life well for him. And we pray that he may be returning soon and that we shall see him. And that we shall run well until that day. Thank you again for your salvation and for our Savior. We pray in his name. Amen.